And for those that are outside of Jesus Christ, for them to consider Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and responding to that. Acts 22, 16, or 12 through 16 says, a certain Ananias, a man who was devout by the standard of the law and well spoken of by the Jews who lived there, came to me and standing near, said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. Now remember what had happened. Saul was on his way after getting permission to go to Damascus to persecute Christians. After having where we first come in contact with him was with the stoning of Stephen, and they laid their coats at the young man by the name of Saul. He was going to traveling on the road to Damascus to persecute Christians. The Lord appeared to him, and nowhere in Scripture does it say that Saul was saved on the road to Damascus. We do read here in this text here what had happened in chapters 22, and I think it's 26. Of that instance happening, the Lord tells him what he needs to do. He blinded him, if you remember. He goes to the street called Straight, where one man will come to him, which is this Ananias, and he wants him to receive his sight. What I want for us to also notice in some of the texts, it'll say that he, once that happened, Paul was scared to death, okay? Being scared to death didn't save him. We also see that he fasted for 3 days. Fasting didn't save him. We also see that he prayed for 3 days. Now, if Paul prayed for 3 days and was not saved, then why do we think we can utter a 10 or 12 second prayer asking Jesus into our heart and that save us? Right? And so he was not saved on the road to Damascus. And as we see that, and this is a defining moment. He is instructed by the Word of God from the Logos himself, Jesus Christ, the Word, and he had a choice to make. It was a defining moment in his life. So it says, Saul, receive your sight, and at that very time I looked up at him, and he said, the God of our fathers has appointed you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear an utterance from his mouth, for you will be a witness for him to all men. For you will be a witness for him to all men of what you have seen and heard. Now, why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. And so as we look at that, here is a defining moment in the life of the great apostle Paul. Because before this, he's not the great apostle Paul. He is Saul. He is a man that was killing Christians. He was separated from Jesus Christ. He was separated but even as he says, I did all these things, even as wrong as they were, in all good conscience, because that's what I was taught. I'm sure Paul loved his parents. I'm sure he loved those rabbis that taught him. And they taught him correctly. But sometimes people stop short. It's been said by a well-known preacher that has passed on now, I'd rather share part of the gospel with all of the people than all of the gospel with part of the people. That's a shame and that's a sin. We've all had many different defining moments in our lives, have we not? The birth of a child. The passing of a loved one. Maybe it was the first job. Maybe it was your last job. Maybe it was your first car. Maybe it was your first date. Right, Dan? First date? No? Oh, okay, I don't know. You never know. Oh, you think of that first date? First kiss. Right? Maybe a wedding. A new house. Maybe it was getting caught. Maybe it was not getting caught. Graduating. Maybe it was staying put. Maybe it was moving. Maybe it was to be or not to be. Maybe it was to run. Maybe it was to walk. Maybe it was to stop. Maybe it was to listen. Maybe it was to talk. And yet we all have some of the same defining moment in our lives. Is there anyone here that has not been born? That was pretty much a defining moment in our life, right? How about when we said yes? Or how about when we said no? How about when we said, I don't care? Which really means you did. If you have the nerve to say, I didn't care, you were at least thinking about it. Or maybe you weren't. I don't know. But we all have defining moments in our life, correct? So what have you done with your defining moments? We've all had them. They've all led to different things. They've all led you to where you are right here, right now, right tonight. How are they defining your life? We're going to look at three things tonight. So this isn't an exhaustive list by any means. But what caused us to have a defining moment in our life? What caused us to have a defining moment in our life? And I got three things that I think cause us to have defining moments in our life. I think the first one is that we want to look at is we all have needs. We all have needs. Is there anyone here that doesn't have a need? Some sort? Right? We all have needs. Maybe some of those needs are really only desires. But we all do have needs. Real needs. How about if you're stranded on the side of the road out of gas and someone stops and says, can we help you? And you say, yes. And then they give you a bottle of water. Right? So did you express your need? You identified that you had a need, but you didn't express what that need was, right? And so there's so many times that, boy, it's great to have that bottle of water. Enter here, bottle of water. Right? Or Mr. Burton. Never mind. No, we were talking the other day about something, and I said, yeah, there's at least one phrase hanging out with him so much that I use, and that's in reference to food, because he likes to say, well, that's mighty tasty. And so I find myself saying, that was mighty tasty. And I said, so I refer to that to Mr. Burton. He goes, well, if you ever catch yourself saying water, then you got a problem. And I was just like, yes, you're right. So anyway, so they give you that big bottle of water, and great, it may have helped you out, but what you were looking for, what you needed was gasoline, not just something that you could use, right? There have been many very pivotal times in our lives when we needed things, and sometimes we received them, and other times we did not. Sometimes we need a hug, right, Matt? George is ready to give you one. Sometimes you need a hug. Sometimes you need a great job. You did a great job on that, right? Like, for example, tonight I heard Hal tell George he did a great job with Sunday school class this morning. I said, yes, it was flawless execution. Sometimes you need an amen. Thank you. They were like, you got it. Come on. Other times we need a kick in the pants. Or as I've seen some do, you can need a smack in the head. Right? Or even maybe a moment of silence. But we all have needs. Luke chapter 11. We're going to be looking at verses 5 through 13. Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he answers and says, do not bother me. I'm going to add this. It's midnight, right? Do not bother me. The door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything, because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. Will he not give him a snake instead of a fish? Will he? Or if he is asked for an egg, will he not give him a scorpion? Will he? Or will he not give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, then how much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, God wants to be considered during our defining moments. George is going to be teaching on the Holy Spirit this upcoming, Sunday. And as he gets going on that, and we touched this on this the first week of our lesson that we had on our gifts of the Holy Spirit on Wednesday nights, it says here in verse 13, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Do we know how we receive the Holy Spirit? Right? Yeah. Acts 2:38, right? When Peter's asked, what shall we do? They said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So if we're wanting the Holy Spirit in our life, there's a defining moment that makes it so that happens in our life. Paul answered that in Acts chapter 22, did he not? When Ananias said, arise and be baptized. Wash away your sins. Is that not exactly what Peter was talking about in Acts 2:38? Yes, it is. But God wants to be considered during our defining moments. We've got our defining moments in our life. Every one of those that we mentioned, that we talked about, God should be a part of that decision making. Right? Do we make our decisions based on God's will, or do we make them based on our wants and our desires? Right? Because we know that we have needs. God knows that we have needs. But do we make our decisions based on our needs or our wants and desires? There's a big difference. Big, big difference. That moment can begin to shape where we go from there, from and to after that time. Paul said that anything we need, God will provide, right? Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply all your needs. How will he do that? According to his riches in glory, in who? Christ Jesus. Everything that we need will be provided for us, ultimately by Jesus Christ. So when we have needs, we need to realize who will fulfill those needs. Who can fulfill those needs? We may have wants and we may have desires and we look to somebody else to fulfill those, but our needs and what we really need is Jesus in our life. What we really need is to be guided by the Holy Spirit. How does that happen? As we said, by our obedience to Jesus Christ. So, when we have needs can be a defining moment. Another one is when we get news can be a defining moment. You get a text message, you see a message on Facebook, you might get a call, maybe it comes across the TV. Those can be defining moments in our life, right? Proverbs 15:30, not on the screen, says, good news puts fat on the bones. I'm just saying, keep some of your good news to yourself, okay? I got plenty, right? But as we look at that, what we're saying is good news should be something we look forward to. Huh. Is there a good news that we all need? Right? Good news is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right? Do you all remember? Well, okay, I shouldn't start off that way, because, sir, nobody over here remembers this. 1983? Huh? I believe she's from Canada. Anne Murray. Right? Had a song released with the title, I Sure Could Use a Little Good News Today. Amen? I think this is exactly what the world's crying out for. They need a little good news. And guess what that good news is? The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. His birth, his death, or his birth, his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection. The story of Jesus. As Coop shared a couple weeks ago in a communion meditation, there out of Luke, when it says, and it burned within them. This is the story. This is what? I mean, we're getting close to that time of year, right? Where we want to hear about the Christmas story, and I'm not talking about little Ralphie either, right? I did this morning, but not tonight. But we talk about the Christmas story, and you know what? People need to hear the Christmas story, the real story, the biblical story of Jesus. That's the good news. That's where it all began. Talking about the time we get news. All of us here that are 20 years of age or so and older can remember September 11th, 2001, right? The attack on the World Trade Center. Some here remember, even back farther than that, November 22nd, 1963, the assassination of John Fitzgerald Kennedy, right? And there's some here that probably even remember the walls of Jericho falling, right? They remember where they were when they got that news. It came and took cross on their tablet. It was a stone tablet, but nevertheless, right? It was a tablet. We all remember the details, right, about our defining moments. Luke 2:10 says, but the angel said to him, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. Amen? For all the people. Paul said that men would be taking the good news out to the world. Romans 10:15. How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. And he's quoting out of Isaiah 52. But the church at Corinth was told by Paul that he had to preach the gospel, that he couldn't hold back, that he needed to do this. 1 Corinthians 9:16 says, For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for I am under compulsion. For woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. And I don't believe that's just for preachers. I believe that's for all Christians, to share the good news. For as we all said at the beginning of this, we all could use a little good. So if we, the church, the Christians that are saved, could use a little good news, then how much more does the world need to hear some good news today? Like when Jeremiah had the word of God as a fire in his bones and he could not contain it. He had to get the news out. Jesus said, this is how you get the news out, Mark 16:15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Preach the good news to all creation. And when you hear the news, obey it. Obey it. When you get the text message that said the roads are icy, what do we need to suppose? That the roads are icy, right? If you get news, you need to listen to it and obey it. Why? Because it's a defining moment that will change your life. It'll change your life. And then, this point may sound familiar because I used it a week or two ago in a message. But you know, there's another defining moment in each one of your lives right now. And you know what that is? Right now. Right now. That's a defining moment. There are those of you, as we started off this message, that we said are sitting here tonight and you're Christians. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I can't wait to get there, right? But there are some that are sitting here tonight that have not obeyed the gospel. And so right now is important. Right now is the time that you're sitting here and you're listening. And it's maybe for the first time it's making sense to you that how long should I wait? If you understand that right now is the time, then right now is the time. You know what the right now is called? What do we call that? Life. Life. The right now we call life. It's what's going on right now. It's what's going on. It's what we are living right now. What is life? What is life? I remember growing up, going to my grandma and grandpa Nelson's house, and they had this board game, and it had a spinner on it, and it had these little cars and these little peg people that you'd put in it, and it was called the Game of Life. One of my favorite cereals to eat, whether it's cinnamon or whether it's original, and now they've got chocolate. I haven't had the chocolate yet, so the jury's still out on that. But it's called, and even Mikey likes it. I'm not sure if that's Mike Gospodarek or not, but does he like, yeah? No? Yeah. Well, life. Do you like life? Oh, no. See? There you go. But if it's that life, I love that. I love life cereal, right? And so what is life? I've got some pictures up here of what some people we've heard say that life is. If you think back to 1990s country music, John Michael Montgomery says that life is a dance. You learn how you go. Sometimes you lead, sometimes you follow, right? That's all I'm going to sing, right? The next one we've got here, Wesley from The Princess Bride says, life is pain. Anybody that tells you something different, trying to sell you something, right? Okay, so I like The Princess Bride. Okay. Or maybe one of my favorites, right? Yeah. Life is like a box of chocolates, right? You never know what you're going to get. Or how about the Apostle James? Life is but a vapor. I was going to do a demonstration of a vapor, but I thought I'd just pass on that. All right. Or how about this one from Nike? Life is short. Play hard, right? Or one that we may know from the 1980s, or if you're a country music fan, from the early 2000s, whether you're a Tom Cochran fan, which that version's way better than Rascal Flatts, I'm just saying. But Rascal Flatts, life is a highway, right? And I want to ride it. Shame on you guys for knowing, though. No, Nick, you're up there. Yeah, all right. But do we get an idea? Does this stuff that's happening right now, that this is the way it is, that this is the way things are going? Life is about the right now. The Old Testament tells us that the life is in the blood. The New Testament tells us that the life is in the blood of Jesus Christ. If you do have Christ's blood in your life, then are you living? Stop and consider that. Do we have a lot of zombie Christians? I think, didn't Dylan Schaefer do a devotional on that at camp one year? On zombie Christians, zombie life? I think I remember him doing that. That are we actually living for Christ, or are we just the walking dead? Right? Are we just walking around? Are we saved and then don't do anything about it? Are we walking around dead? But as Christians, we need to be living. Are we living? Maybe these people that haven't become Christians, that watch us during the service, they realize, you know what? If that's the way Christians are supposed to act, checking their Facebook, looking at their emails, doing everything else during the service instead of paying attention, I'm not a Christian, and I can't do that. I don't do that, right? So are we a Christian, and are we living like Christ is in us? His blood washes away our sin. His blood releases us from death. His blood holds our life. So what are we doing with our life right now? That's what we're asking as Christians. The right now still involves us. The right now, what are you doing right now? Well, I used to do this and I used to do that. You don't care what you used to do for him. What are you doing now? What are we doing now for Jesus? And if you're outside of Christ, now's the time to start doing stuff for him, living for him, become a part of his kingdom. If the world came to an end right now, where would you spend eternity? Where would you go? Right now. Right now. Not 5 minutes from now. Right now. It's done. It's over. The trumpets sound. Remember, Tommy Johnson always used to say he felt that the Lord would return on a Sunday night because he'd find out who the real church was. Right? Just a thought. But if he returned right now, remember we asked at the beginning who were Christians? We said that there are some here that are not. There'd be a separation right now. The sheep from the goats. The right from the left. The righteous from the unrighteous. Well done. Depart from me. Where will you spend eternity? 2 Corinthians 6:2, and we've used this verse a few weeks ago. For he says, at the acceptable time, I listened to you. And on that day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. When should I become a Christian? Right now. If you're asking that question, right now. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Paul's quoting Isaiah 49. So the Old Testament says it, and the New Testament says it. Right now. I will ask you this, and as we close, it's not on the screen. Does anyone know what Matthew 27:22 says without looking it up? That's all right. I didn't know what it was either until I looked it up. Right? Pilate looked at the people and said, so what will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Church, you're here tonight. You claim to be part of the body of Christ. So what will you do with Jesus? Will you take him out and share him with everyone else? For those of you that are here tonight that are outside the body of Christ, you've heard the gospel message. You know what needs to be done to be saved. So what will you do with Jesus? They're going to come up and get ready to lead us in a song of invitation, but as we go through our plan of salvation, that we need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that you need to be willing to repent of your sins, that you need to be willing to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we do that verbally. We do that by our actions. And then to be baptized, to have our sins washed away, arise and be baptized. A defining moment in the life of Apostle Paul. A defining moment in the life of every Christian ever throughout history was the moment that they became a Christian. When they left the world behind and said, I want to follow Jesus. I want to have him wash my sins away, to be baptized, and then to live faithfully. Probably the hardest one on the list is to be what he wants for us to be all the time and to continue on and be faithful. Are you willing to do that tonight? Are you willing to set out? Are you willing to step out and to do what the Lord wants for you to do? We'll say this. We all have needs. You've heard the good news. So why not react right now? Will you stand?
Are you washed in the blood?